Good morning, and thanks for making the Federal Drive part of your Friday. In this hour, we've got a special Federal Drive panel discussion, Clearing the Fog Around Cloud Computing, sponsored by Level 3 Communications. We have four guests joining us in studio this morning. Tom Baer is Chief Information Officer at Securities and Exchange Commission. Bob Bahn is the Cloud Computing Program Manager and Reference Architecture Lead in the Information Technology Laboratory at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. From here on in, we're going to call him the Cloud Computing Program Manager at NIST. Mike Wash is Chief Information Officer at the National Archives and Records Administration, and Mike Parker is Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department. Thank you all for being here.
All right. It's great to have you all, and let's start with the big question. Now that we have some experience with cloud, what are some of the major lessons learned so far for federal agencies that are under mandate to use cloud computing? Robert Bond from NIST, why don't we start with you?
What are some of the major lessons learned? Let's see. I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to defer that to people who actually implement it. I come from more of a policy-driven basis, and I don't decide the implementation factors.
Okay, well, let's go to someone like Mike Parker of the Treasury Department. What have you learned so far?
Well, I think, you know, many federal agencies really looked at opportunities for cloud computing prior to the mandate. At the Treasury Department, we moved to the cloud before the mandate. We moved to the cloud for really web hosting, and it proved very successful. And I think from our perspective, you know, some of the lessons learned are that the successful execution doesn't change. The prescription truly is good planning, good business cases, and good governance. That results in good outcomes.
All right, so governance. That seems to be a topic we hear a lot about the cloud, and, of course, there's contractors involved. And Tom Baer at Securities and Exchange Commission, what's your experience been so far?
So under Mary Shapiro's leadership, the SEC's undertaken steps to provide greater oversight of the financial markets, and including investing in modernizing its technology infrastructure. We have moved approximately 40-plus applications into the cloud, and we've had great experience with that, including improving service, reducing our costs, and improving the operational effectiveness of those applications.
All right. Mike Wash, GPO. I've known you so many years from the GPO, but we know, of course, now you are at NARA. So tell us about what you've learned in the cloud experience there.
Thanks, Tom. Our experience with the cloud has been pretty broad. And what one of our big lessons learned has been is that it's planning, making sure that a good understanding of what the integration activities are needed to be in order to successfully move applications to a cloud. It's a big difference between having your own infrastructure and being able to go in and put applications on your infrastructure to knowing that your infrastructure is essentially up in a cloud. It requires more planning and an understanding of who's going to integrate and who's going to test and how it's all going to flow.
So you don't make the decision today and then next week you're in the cloud.
Correct. There needs to be a very clear understanding of roles and responsibilities between the agency, the hosting provider, and all the integration activities to make it go seamlessly.
So what I'm hearing is already a big theme is plan ahead, be prepared. But, of course, you don't know about all those hiccups that just happen along the way. And I'd like to hear from you guys, you know, be honest. What were some of those surprises and how did you roll with the punches? And, Mike, if you don't mind, we'll continue with you.
We've had our share of hiccups. One of the biggest cloud projects that we've had to date was the launch of the 1940 census in April of this year. It was the largest digital release on a single day in the history of the federal government. And this is a very popular event when a census is released. And this was the first time that the census was going to be made available electronically and immediately, rather than people having to come to an archive and go through schedules to try to find their information. We planned ahead. We moved our archives.gov website to a cloud environment. We partnered with another company that's in the genealogy business that understood the census, and we hosted the census itself through the partner in the Amazon cloud. But nonetheless, even though we modeled by the type of response that the UK had gathered in their census release, we still underestimated the volume. And even though we were in a fully elastic cloud, it took us several hours to tune the environment to really be able to support the millions of visitors that were coming to that site to be able to get access to the data.
So at the SEC, we didn't have any hiccups moving to the cloud. Actually, it was a great experience. And a hiccup caused a move to the cloud. We had a massive S1 filing by Facebook, and it outstripped our ability to serve network traffic. Our systems worked great, but our network wasn't big enough to hold all the interest from the filing public. And as a result of that, we moved our operations into the cloud in less than a week, and we worked very effectively with the cloud provider, and it was a very successful integration and implementation, and it allowed us to really flex up for a global expansion in demand. And as a result of that, the second time that Facebook filed their amended S1, we had plenty of bandwidth and plenty of availability of the systems.
So you came back Monday morning and everything was still there.
Yeah, everything worked perfectly, and it continues to work. And it reduced the amount of time for page refresh and other things. There were a lot of great benefits as a result of it.
And Mike Parker at Treasury, any particular hiccups or bumps in the road?
We had the same positive experience in moving our Treasury.gov website to the Amazon cloud with really no hiccups whatsoever. Now we're in the process of creating a private cloud environment. And what we learned early on is we have to include security as part of the planning process from day one. This can't be something that you do after the fact. It has to be built into planning.
All right. And Bob Bond, speaking of planning, I mean, there's some policy things agencies have to do. What, in this opinion, do agencies need to do ahead of time before they get to this point of where they have the switch over and it goes as smoothly as we've heard described?
Well, at NIST, we've produced a draft version of a cloud computing standards and technology roadmap for cloud for the U.S. government. That was issued last November. It took public comments for about 6 weeks. We received over 200 of those. We're expecting a final version of that to come out in January. What is in that first volume is a list of 10 requirements or requirements needed by agencies to move into the cloud. Certainly, security is a big topic, but also one other thing that's needed is an adherence or involuntary consensus-based standards for cloud computing, so to avoid vendor lock-in in the future.
Our guests this morning are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Robert Bond, the NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager at NIST, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives and Records Administration, and Mike Parker, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department. This is a Federal Drive discussion clearing the fog around cloud computing, sponsored by Level 3 Communications. We're going to have lots more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's 9:19. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio Federal Drive discussion, Clearing the Fog Around Cloud Computing. It's sponsored by Level 3 Communications on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin. And our guests today are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Bob Bond, NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives, and Mike Parker, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at Treasury Department. And right now we're going to be turning to the tricky topic of security in the cloud.
Yeah, let's talk about security in the cloud. And basically, we'll start with you, Tom Baer from SEC. What are some of the security negotiations that you went through with the cloud provider? How did that all work?
So whenever we do a contract with a cloud provider, we ensure that security is topic number one. We make sure that they handle the security of their systems and their network, and in particular, they're robust enough to overcome a denial of service attack. We have SEC.gov, for example, in the cloud, and it's helped us because the cloud provider has edge routers all over the world and unlimited bandwidth, and that helps in the area of a denial of service attack and other things. We've mostly moved most of our data, which is non-PII data or privacy-sensitive data, into the cloud.
For so that example, includes the Edgar data?
Yeah,
and that
Edgar
kind of stuff?
Data, which is about 21 million filings, corporate filings, is in the cloud. We also have a number of other applications which do not contain privacy data, and that's what we've moved quickly.
And when you say that you've made sure that these centers are safe, tell me a little bit about how you guys have gone about doing that. I mean, do you have people like investigators going and checking out the physical spaces, things like that?
Yes, we do a full certification of the facility, their security and operating procedures, and we make sure that they adhere to NIST standards for security.
Now, I guess one security issue, Mike Parker from Treasury, is also continuity and making sure that they stay up. It's a security issue for Treasury and also for them. What do you look at in the facility to make sure that it's world-class in terms of being a data center?
It's a great question. I think that what we're doing at the Treasury Department, as I mentioned earlier, is we're actually developing our own private cloud environment. And with this private cloud environment, we're utilizing excess data center capacity in two of our Treasury data centers. One of the centers will be really our test development and disaster recovery environment, and the other data center will be our production environment, because that's absolutely critical that we have full redundancy and immediate backup capability.
So tell us about that test disaster center. What are you going to be doing there?
Well, it's where we'll actually develop, test some of the applications prior to moving them into production, and then it will also serve as a disaster recovery site with full replication. So in the case of something that we don't want to happen does happen, we can flip a switch and be up and ready.
And Mike Walsh of NARA, you were talking about how there was a movement of a big single particular data set to an outside provider for the purposes of being able to make it available to the public. Did that get removed at some point or pulled away from that site and put back into your own servers? And how do you make sure that everything is cleared out of the vendor's server? Because that's another security issue.
Well, first of all, it hasn't been pulled back yet.
Still
but
there.
Our plans are to do that. You know, we were working with the partner to really accommodate the surge, and then we'll bring it back into a NARA managed site. Our aspects for security are very similar to what's been discussed. We rely very heavily on the NIST guidelines and the FISMA aspects to ensure that our environments are fully certified. But we will do an awful lot of work making sure that the data has integrity as it comes out, so it's completely accounted for, to make sure that we haven't dropped anything along the way.
Do you ever think it would be just easier to just buy their infrastructure and own it yourself and not have to remove it in the first place?
That's a great question, because I think part of the problem is really moving data. And one of my big concerns at the National Archives is actually doing that. Another census, another favorite census of mine, is the 2010 census that we received from the Census Bureau last year. It was 300 and some terabytes, not a lot of data in today's standards. But the only way we could receive that effectively was on a truck, 17 racks of equipment that had to be delivered to us. It took about a year and a half of work between the census and the National Archives to ensure that all the data was loaded on that equipment, and then we received all of that data on the equipment. So all of the integrity checking took a long time, plus a physical move. So in the future, what we need to do as a federal government is really work on ways of eliminating that physical move of data and really promote, in a cloud environment, keeping the data at rest and then managing the data where it's created.
They don't call it big iron for nothing. And Bob Bond at NIST, in the absence of FedRAMP being there and fully operational to certify cloud providers, what is NIST saying that people should do in the meantime to maintain the assurance that where they move their data is going to be secure?
Sure. So NIST has a the cloud computing program has a security working group, and that working group has published, well, not published, but they have a working draft of security guidance for moving to the cloud. There are also current NIST SP800s that are out there that talk about cloud and cloud security too. So,
all right, and those are available online.
Those
anytime.
Are available, yeah, online.
All right, our guests today are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission; Robert Bond, NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager; Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives and Records Administration; and Mike Parker, Deputy CIO at Treasury. This is a Federal Drive discussion, clearing the fog around cloud computing, sponsored by Level 3 Communications. Lots more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio Federal Drive discussion, clearing the fog around cloud computing. It's sponsored by Level 3 Communications here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin, and we've got some guests today. Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission; Bob Bond, NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager; Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives; and Mike Parker, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department.
All right, I wanted to go into this topic of capacity, and one of the OMB initiatives these days is to create a marketplace of unused federal data center capacity. And it sounds like a great idea, with everyone clearing out and virtualizing and making more space. But I'm wondering, from your point of view, let's start with you, Tom Baer at SEC. Are you seeing this capacity out there? Is that marketplace anything more than just an idea at this point?
So we at the SEC recently looked for data center space within federal agencies and couldn't find any. And so we resorted to an RFP for cloud computing in publicly available data centers. And that's the route that we were ultimately went, because we couldn't find unused data center space within federal facilities.
Well, I guess if everybody's consolidating the way they're supposed to, there shouldn't be any extra space. So maybe it's the whole thing is temporary. Is that the feeling you're getting?
Yes, I would agree with that.
And Mike Parker, Treasury, you've looked at that also. And is it out there, or are you creating your own space? What's going on?
Well, we actually are creating our own space. We're utilizing two data centers within the Treasury Department. We had available capacity. Quite frankly, I don't think we can build this enterprise environment fast enough. Many of the Treasury bureaus are very anxious to migrate to this. Our top priority initiative is something we call Mobile Treasury, which is really a private cloud environment. It'll be an enterprise virtualized environment. It truly is the basis, you know, for moving forward for us into some of the new initiatives. The bottom line is, we had available capacity. It was made available to us and for all the Treasury bureaus, and it really was the starting point. And it really has been a major success story for us.
So if somebody from another agency calls up and says, do you have any space, you're going to tell them no?
Well, at this point, we are we probably have as many customers as we can handle within the Treasury Department. I don't know what the future will bring, but we have more than enough need out there within our base.
Now, Mike Wash at NARA, you're strictly internal cloud at this point. Have you looked at the marketplace in the federal government? Is there anything out there?
We are primarily internal cloud. We have a data center that we use for typical agency type of business operations, and then we have a separate data center for our electronic records. And we are really trying to figure out ways of minimizing our footprint in an effort of consolidation, which will move us and migrate us to a cloud environment. We have not shopped for excess capacity in the federal government. Instead, we're really counting on moving into a cloud type of environment and then working in a federated type of cloud infrastructure with other agencies, carrying on that theme of a data at rest type of model that I talked about earlier.
So you would keep it as an internal cloud at some point? You're not looking at going to the commercial cloud at this point?
I think it'll be both. And leveraging back to the security discussion we just had, we have to look at the types of records that we're dealing with, because we have classified documents and we have, you know, declassified documents, and we have those that could be made available for public access because of the sensitivity. So we're going to develop our process and our rules for what is eligible for different types of environments and manage it that way. And that's work that's still underway.
And Tom, when you went out and looked at the vendor base to find cloud capacity in the commercial space for SEC, what are some of the criteria that you have? We talked about security, but what other criteria matter when choosing a cloud supplier?
So we looked at the standards for tiering in data centers, and we selected a tier 3 level data center for full redundancy, N plus 1 or N plus 2 redundancy of all systems, including power conditioning, generators, and other things like that. And that is very important to the SEC, because we want to have all of our systems up and available 7 days a week, 99.99% of the time. And so that was the criteria that we wanted to find in a data center provider. In addition to that, something that's very critical to us is to provide monitoring of all of our systems, and they had to agree to allow us to monitor all of our systems within that data center environment for uptime and availability and resiliency.
And going back to redundancy, I'm just curious, what exactly does that mean? I mean, does that mean that they keep the same data in two different locations or in 200, or how does that work? And I guess I'll throw that open to anybody, maybe at NIST, if you have some sort of guidelines for that redundancy question.
I don't have any guidelines as such, but typically there's, you know, six copies or so, 4 to 6 copies out there.
Okay, good rule of thumb. Now I know. And when you were at the SEC, is that what did you look for? 6? Was that your magic number, or was it just sufficient enough to calm fears?
Well, we actually we architect and build our own systems, and so everything within our data centers is replicated, so all of our systems are x2 at a minimum. And then we also have a continuity of business and disaster recovery data center facility, which is also online at all times. And so we have at least 4 copies of every system, and data within those systems is copied at least 6 plus times 2.
So all right, so redundancy is a big factor. Mike, Treasury, what is it, some of the things you look at besides redundancy in evaluating external suppliers?
I think we look at flexibility, the ability to move data and applications from one cloud environment to another environment. We also would look at the cost model, you know, sort of a pay-by-the-drink type of model. That we use only those services that we need, and we pay for what we use.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to that, because I want to ask you all about the green question, which is the latest to come up in data center operation. We'll get to that. Our guests today are Mike Parker, the Deputy CIO of the Treasury Department, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at NARA, Robert Bond, the NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager, and Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission. This is a Federal Drive discussion, clearing the fog around cloud computing, sponsored by Level 3 Communications. And we're going to have lots more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's 9:40. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio Federal Drive discussion, clearing the fog around cloud computing. It's sponsored by Level 3 Communications here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin. Our guests today are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Bob Bond, NIST's Cloud Computing Program Manager, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives, and Mike Parker, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department.
And we were talking about redundancy and the need to be always up and have multiple copies. Of course, that all leads to power consumption, and now that's all in the news these days, because members of Congress are wondering how not only federal government data centers are doing, but also commercial cloud providers or data centers. And so let's start again with you, Tom Baer at the SEC, with respect to greenness of the suppliers that you use or of your own data center. What are some of the things you're doing to keep the cloud green?
So at the SEC last year, we virtualized almost all of our servers, which reduced the number of servers and power consumption. And the overall power consumption last year in dollar terms was reduced by about $520,000. So, and about 20% of our ongoing power consumption at the SEC. So it was a very significant move. Moving to the applications to the cloud also allows us to reduce our overall bandwidth from a network perspective as well.
So are you looking at how efficiently your suppliers are operating? Does that figure into the equation in choosing a supplier?
Yes, we look at that as part of the RFP process, and it's rated and evaluated as well.
Okay, and what about Treasury, Mike? Is that what about the greenness of this whole issue?
Well, as I mentioned, we are developing our own private cloud utilizing existing Treasury Department data center space. Therefore, we can leverage economies. We are developing a virtualized environment. This will be fully virtualized and obviously reducing our footprint and having the ability to bring in more Treasury customers as we expand.
So you're saving energy by consolidating, in other words, and virtualizing.
Anything
exotic like Kyoto wheels and all that kind of stuff that are using cooling data centers?
No.
At this point, it's pretty conventional. Okay. And, Mike, what about the green aspect and the operational cost there?
Green for the National Archives is a very big deal. We're actually, on a side note, we've applied for a LEEDs certification of one of our facilities here in College Park. That's how green we intend to be, and we create our own power, actually, to supply some of the power for our data center. But we are looking at...
Not by burning records, we hope.
No, we're not burning records. We're using solar, which is nice. But we are looking at virtualization within our records data center. And, for example, the 2010 census that I spoke about a little while ago, we're actually refreshing that technology and putting it on a smaller footprint. It'll result in about an 80% reduction in energy, which is a space savings, HVAC savings, and overall power. But another aspect I would just like to introduce here is from an archival perspective, the long-term storage needs for records is something that we have to keep a really close eye on. We talk a lot about in cloud environments in our data centers the spinning disks and the power associated with the spinning disks. From an archival perspective, there needs to be a solution out there where we could actually have a very, very low energy type of storage capability with very long lasting things like digital optical technology. There's technology even back from my roots at Kodak that was developed called digital optical tape storage that was developed for digital cinema that has very long-lasting permanence and no energy required for storage. That type of technology is still in the development stage, but it's one that could eventually come into play for archives around the world for keeping records for very long periods of time with extremely low energy requirements.
So we're talking about optical means, but some of the cheaper optical means fade away in a few years.
Right. And some of the technologies that are being developed now for long-term optical storage have been tested by Battelle Labs for over 100 years with no degradation. So the material science is really coming along that could provide low-cost, high-capacity, and no extreme storage types of capabilities.
And, so at SEC, you've got the same issue. I mean, 10K filings.
Yes.
Have to be kept for a long time. But then you have your own rulemaking and some of the long-term records of the agency itself. Not just in terms of green, but in terms of recoverability at some point in the future, what are you looking at in the cloud?
So we are looking at moving our data into the cloud to reduce our overall costs of archiving and generating web and serving up web pages for our EDGAR filings and other data such as that. We intake a tremendous amount of data in many aspects at the SEC. For example, we intake the equivalent of the Capitol Rotunda every month in e-discovery for our enforcement actions. So we intake a large amount of data. For Dodd-Frank filing requirements, again, it's a huge amount. We have created an electronic data warehouse capability, which allows us to record that data, analyze that data automatically, and produce fast returns for public display or other uses within the SEC.
Mike, at Treasury, what about the long-term aspect? What are you looking at there for the cloud that you're building for other parts of Treasury and for main Treasury? What's the long-term aspect?
Well, actually, what we'd like to do is, as Treasury bureaus, as their leases expire, if they're utilizing commercial hosting sites, we would like them to migrate to our enterprise infrastructure. One of the things that is the basis for this private cloud environment, truly it's about the business case and the savings that can be generated from this consolidation. Although the data is yet to come in, we are projecting savings with developing this private cloud environment. And in fact, as we speak, we are migrating from a commercial site, just sort of a forklift of an application from a commercial site to our computing centers, and that will result in real savings.
All right. And is there any NIST guidance on archiving and tiers of storage and so forth for the cloud that can give agencies some way of knowing how they should plan for that kind of thing when the current CIO, whoever it might be, is no longer there?
No. We don't have any type of guidance on
all
that.
Right.
I mean, the cloud is presented a huge opportunity and sets of problems for the government. And we were only, we can only investigate so many, but certainly I could take this back to talk to my group about.
All right, maybe we'll get something started here.
Yeah.
All right, it's 9:48. Our guests today are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Mike Wash, CIO at NARA, Mike Parker, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department, and Bob Bond, NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager. This is a Federal Drive discussion, Clearing the Fog Around Cloud Computing, sponsored by Level 3 Communications. Lots more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio Federal Drive discussion, Clearing the Fog Around Cloud Computing. It's sponsored by Level 3 Communications here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Emily Kopp, along with Tom Temin. Our guests today are Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Bob Bond, NIST's Cloud Computing Program Manager, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives, and Mike Parker, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Treasury Department.
And in the few minutes we have left, I'd like to talk about what's ahead for cloud computing, and we're going to start with Bob Bond from NIST. What are some of the guidance areas you are planning? What are we going to see coming from NIST for future guidance in this whole journey in cloud computing?
Well, in addition to the roadmap volumes that I mentioned earlier, we're expecting to put out. We have some documents in the works now that you can see working drafts online. One is a discussion of SLAs and terminologies. SLA stands for Service Level Agreement, which is a very popular word when you hear when you talk about cloud computing. Service level agreements should be looked at of in the bigger sense of a part of the cloud contract that you work with the vendor. But certainly, service level agreements will tell you what you're going to get and how much of what you're going to get. Cloud computing should be worth thought of as a utility model. So, what are the types of metrics that we're going to be looking at, and what you're going to be purchasing as a consumer? Gigabytes or megabytes per second bandwidth, et cetera, et cetera. So we have that coming down the works now as far as guidance.
All right, and that whole idea of, as you say, as a service, utility, that brings up the topic of software as a service, and that seems to be on everybody's lips with cloud these days. Tom Baer at SEC, what are you seeing and what are you planning?
So we are planning to use software as a service providers extensively within the SEC. We already use, for our customer service, software as a service providers. We also, for human resources and other back office operations, we use a lot of software as a service providers. So they do the development of the application, and they also host the application for us and maintain the data for us. We also have a large market data analytics project where we import market transaction data from our exchanges and other brokerage houses, and that's collected for us by a third party. We host that application in the cloud. They develop the analytical models and tools for us, and that allowed us to quickly move into that space and leverage a third party's capabilities. And they provide that service as a commercial service to other people, and it allowed us to leapfrog from a technology perspective quickly.
Wow, exciting stuff. And what about Treasury, Mike?
Well, I think that, you know, within the department, we sort of feel like our next wave, we had started with web hosting as our first wave into the cloud. And we feel like our next wave is going to be in the administrative services arena, human resources, financial management, those types of areas, because organizations tend to look towards external providers to provide service for those types of activities that are not mission critical. So really in that space, we will be looking at software as a service providers to determine as we go forward. Everything we're doing is really based on a business case.
All right. And NARA, Mike Wash, what are you looking for down the line in terms of applications moving to the cloud?
Records management as a service. That's something that's going to be a theme that you'll hear more about over time with the president's directive on records management that recently came out that instructs federal agencies to have all of their records in an electronic format by 2019.
All right.
Records management as a service is something that will provide interoperability across the cloud and allow us to manage records throughout the lifecycle.
I'm afraid that's all that we have time for, but we'd like to thank our guests, Mike Wash, Chief Information Officer at the National Archives, Tom Baer, Chief Information Officer at the Securities and Exchange Commission, Mike Parker, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at Treasury Department, and Bob Bond, the NIST Cloud Computing Program Manager. Thank you all for joining us. You've been listening to a Federal News Radio Federal Drive panel discussion, Clearing the Fog Around Cloud Computing. It's sponsored by Level 3 Communications. Now, you can find more coverage of cloud computing and data center consolidations at federalnewsradio.com. And we're going to post this entire discussion later this morning at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.